You used to take multiple photos of me, always the one behind the camera, capturing genuine smiles and silly pig noses, enough to fill a scrapbook. Of course, we had many moments captured together, taken by strangers and friends, standing next to each other with big grins and hands around waist. Pictures to use for our lock screens, so that it would be you I see when I open my phone. I took a lot of you too, in a secret album without you knowing. And although all of them are sacred, the last photo that I took of you may have been the most memorable. I took the camera from your familiar hands, and you asked me how you looked. I fixed your hair like I used to, gently placing each curl, making sure they behave for the photo. You were dressed in all black, a bit sweaty, but I told you that you looked great, because you always did. And you said to me, "Thank you." You smiled the same grin that made my heart flutter, and though I know it was all for the camera, being behind it made me smile a bit too. And finally, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, that was the last photo I took of you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Book Baby Spotlight Podcast, your home for interviews with authors, illustrators, editors, and other industry insiders from the world of self-publishing. I'm Sam.
And I'm Jasmine.
And this month we're talking poems. Our intro was from Jelly Santa Rosero, a poet self-published through Book Baby.
I really enjoyed listening to her poems. I thought they were a deep exploration of her emotions, and she showed a lot of vulnerability.
Absolutely. Looking forward to you hearing the whole interview, too.
So April is NaPoWriMo, National Poetry Writing Month. And Sam, did I hear that you're participating?
I am. I was, maybe, is the better term. So the goal of NaPoWriMo, for those who aren't familiar, is to write one poem every day throughout the month of April. And during the last week of March, I happened to be hanging out with one of my good friends, and we both decided to try to take on the challenge and try to hold each other accountable throughout the month.
So much better with friends when you're writing poetry. I used to do spoken word in undergrad, and we'd have a showcase for the month of April, and although I didn't participate, I'm curious about how you kept yourself accountable.
Well, my first challenge was really finding a time to do it. So I know myself well enough that I know I need to set a routine. And if I just followed that routine, it would be okay. So I went with right after work. So when I finished Zooming with you and our other fine colleagues, I close everything out and open up a fresh Google Doc and set an alarm for 45 minutes and put my phone in the other room so I'm not distracted.
Sounds very precise and by the book.
Well, it worked until I got through the first week, and then I completely forgot to do it on Saturday.
You and the rest of us.
Yeah, so that was the flaw in planning, to try to set it up around work. So I fell out of the routine, and I'm at about 9 of 16 as we're recording this. So not great, unfortunately.
Well, you know, that's a lot better than most, I feel. You know, did you feel good when you got back into the writing, though?
Yeah, you know, it's a muscle I need to exercise more. Have you been doing any writing?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It is a muscle. And I am trying my hand at writing a memoir.
Ooh, I'm going to come through Book Baby with that.
I plan on it, yes.
Do you have a routine that you stick to?
Yeah, it's a little more intuitive. I like have a word count that I try to meet weekly. So that way, like, I don't feel the pressure every single day. And I tend to meditate before I write and like designate a scene that I'm going to write for that particular session. Every writer is different in their process. And I remember Jelly talking about hers.
Yeah, let's jump into that. Our next guest is Jelly Santa Rosero. She is the author of the new poetry collection, Remembering You Like Deja Vu, coming out in May via Book Baby. Jelly is a dancer, director, model, painter, illustrator, photographer, filmmaker, and now published poet. Jelly, thanks so much for joining me.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk
about it. Did I get everything on your list there?
Yeah, so far. It's growing every day, but that's what we have so far.
All right. So let's start from the beginning. How did you get into writing poetry?
I've always been writing poetry. I've written poetry since I was in high school. I was part of a literary magazine, and we'd have meetings, write poetry, edit poetry, and I've just been writing ever since.
Do you see that as a way to, you know, process feelings, or is it more just about the actual writing for you?
It's definitely about an outlet for me, processing, feeling, and just like releasing, definitely a release.
Yeah, it seems like a very personal collection. I'm sure we'll get into that. But who are the writers or poets that inspired you early on?
I liked reading when I was younger, like Where the Sidewalk Ends, Missing Piece. And then recently I've been reading R.H. Sin and Madison Kuhn.
Nice. Shel Silverstein, always a classic.
Exactly.
So when you started this collection of poems, did you intend to create a book, or was that a later thing you realized was a possibility?
No, I definitely started writing and intended for a book for it. I just had so many feelings at the time and so many things that I needed to get out that I was like, my next project, because I always have a project somehow, my next project is going to be a book. And so that was like the main goal of, you know, after writing everything, was being able to produce something like this.
And how long did that take you?
It took me 2 years from start to finish. And it's still not even done yet. It's still, you know, having to promote it and having to keep up with the social media pages of it. So it's still not done, but it's been in the process of 2 years since, I want to say, August 2021.
Wow. So let's dive into the craft itself. You know, what's your writing routine like? Do you have a specific time of day, a location, got to listen to music?
Definitely my specific time of writing is just whenever something comes to me, write it down, note it, jot it down. I don't have a particular writing style. It's more, you know, letting out emotions and, you know, having that raw feelings portrayed onto paper. And then I'll later go back in and kind of read it and be like, this could be edited. This could be said in a more literary, poetic way. But it's always first just writing it all down.
On paper, or do you do that on your phone?
I do it on my phone just because it's more accessible for me, or my computer if I have it on me. But most of the time I do listen to music, and I do watch like some videos that like do end up inspiring me. Some movies inspire me as well. But usually it's just whatever comes to mind at that time, because my mind goes like 1,000 miles a minute. So it's whatever I can catch at that time.
So you find yourself just writing long bits and then refining later?
I find myself writing short bits that I can condense into longer bits. Or I find ideas or concepts that I can think of that I can, oh, I have this concept. I can write something about that. So just either writing down just even just the concept of it.
Mm. So do you find yourself thinking about structure while working, or is that later on?
Structure is definitely a later thing for me. I don't usually find that I have a lot of structure. It usually just comes afterwards, where it kind of is like, as I'm writing it, as I'm, you know, editing it a little bit, I go, oh, I could structure it this way. So it's just kind of in the moment.
You've got a few hundred poems completed. Did you have anybody edit them? I'm always so interested to hear what that process is, because it seems so much more personal than trying to edit a novel or nonfiction piece.
Yeah. So thankfully my neighbor and my best friend's mom, who's basically my sister, is actually, she was an editor back in the day. So I was thankfully able to, you know, ask her, hey, would you be able to edit my book? And she said, I'd love to. Her name's Mara Covell. She's wonderful. She's like one of my friends too, in a way. I go over to my neighbor's house. I go to her house. I talk with her. So like editing and writing with her was really nice, because she's very particular and very good at like picking out things that I wouldn't have necessarily found myself if I was just editing it myself. Because definitely the first draft I gave to her was completely different from the final product. And I really wouldn't have been able to do this without her.
How did you end up hearing about Book Baby, and how did we end up winning your business while you were, you know, figuring out what you wanted to do?
Yeah. So my mom has a high school friend. She went to her high school reunion and she met with her friend Eleanor, who is a published poet as well. She gave me her contact information. I emailed Eleanor. I was like, hey, I'm trying to make a book. Where do I start? She was almost like my mentor in a sense. And she recommended, and I asked her about publishing companies and where I should publish and what are the publishing routes I can go. She walked me down, like, you can go down the traditional route, you can go down the self-publishing route, you can go down like a mix of both. So then I started looking into like other publishing companies, and Book Baby was the one that I went with just because it met the requirements that I was looking for, which was process wise, like how do I submit things, how fast does it get to it. Included like being able to publish it to like larger audiences of like Barnes and Nobles and Amazon and other shops like that. So yeah, I looked at other places, and it was also like the other places were just out of my price range. And that's why I just decided I'm going with Book Baby. It's my best option, especially for like my first book. I think it's a good first printing place to go to. And I would definitely use it again because I do plan on like doing some other projects as well.
Awesome. Glad to hear that. It sounds like even though, you know, this is a very personal project, that you had a lot of community support. You already mentioned two people involved in getting this done.
I'm very lucky to have the circle that I have with either my mom's colleagues or my own colleagues, even my friends, you know, being able to help me with like this whole process, even offering because they're always like, oh, Jelly, like, if you need any help, please let us know. If you want us to read through anything, like, let us know. Or I would always be like, oh, I would love to, but I can't. I wanted to tell them so badly. I wanted to show them so badly. But I was like, I need them to be able to see it just with everyone else and give them the finished product. So I'm really thankful for my community that I've been like able to like have, definitely.
Yeah. Did you have any hesitation sharing certain things with people you were close with? I feel like sometimes the anonymity of the audience can be great and helpful, and you can say more than you would to somebody you know personally.
Yeah, so I definitely had more of a fear of showing this to my close friends more than people who don't really know me or like know the situation as much, just because they're like closely related to it. They know what it's about. They've like heard me like rant to them or like cry to them about whatever it is that made me write this book. So being able to like say, this is like what I've been going through for the past 2 years and why I wanted to write this book and all the like deeper emotions that like I felt at that time, is scary to show the people that like actually know why I'm writing it and what it's about and who the person is or who the people are. And so that was the scariest part of it for me. Plus, I also know because it is very personal, and you know, the people that are related to it, they could see it. I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings of what I felt at the time. Because I know people can take things in like a negative route, especially when it becomes like public and becomes in writing and you have to kind of see it and come to terms with it. I was scared that if the person who saw this was going to read it, I was scared that they were going to get hurt all over again.
Interesting. Yeah. So I'm curious then, this isn't something that you would have shared with the main subject of the book or no?
I definitely thought about it. I thought about like sending this once it was released, sending it to them or, you know, messaging them saying like, hey, I did this and, you know, it's technically dedicated to you. But I don't feel like it's my place anymore, just as, you know, like as people grow apart and as, you know, life moves on. It's not, I don't feel like it's my place to insert myself back into a life that I've been without, I've been away from.
Poetry can be really hard to sell, of course, you know, like a lot of art, often not appreciated in the artist's time. So, you know, what was your goal in publishing this overall? And, you know, what's the plan to accomplish that?
My goal was never to like become like a millionaire with this book or, you know, to have this be, have this make me like my primary income or anything. None of my projects are ever like that. I always put out projects and showcase projects because it's for me but it's also to be able to share it with other people. And I always wanted it to be that, you know, yes, this project is for me. And as much as it like was a therapeutic way for me to release my emotions, I also wanted it to be for other people to, you know, find comfort in, you know, this a situation that is similar or, you know, emotions that are relatable. And so my primary goal of this was just to be able to like allow people to, you know, relate and say like, hey, we're all going through shit and it's okay, and just do what you need to do to get through it. For me, it was this book.
So I was checking out some of your Instagram posts. Listeners definitely need to check this out. You have these great images that are arranged in the grid format to create that larger picture. Where'd that idea come from, and how did you generate those images?
Yeah, so I used to follow BTS's Instagram. And if you would scroll through their Instagram, they would have these really large images that were on the grids. So if you looked at their profile, you would see this big image instead of like just one tiny square. And I got inspired by that. And I started wanting to format my content around it, because I do like the idea of like, yes, here's a small snippet, but also if you look at the whole picture, it's something much bigger. There's something deeper into it. There's something more about whatever this image or whatever this bigger piece is about. So most of all of the images are, I like to call them like memories for me. Like they're all little snippets of memories, sliced into one image or a few images. And being able to condense those into, a format where it's presentable, but also I guess like aesthetic wise as well, because I feel like, especially when it comes to social media, people don't tend to like pay attention unless it looks nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely stands out. And I'm curious how if some of our listeners can use this to sell comic books. That's the thing that came to mind, because it's got the grid format. So I'd be curious to see what other sort of genres we can use that idea for.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to see it more. Honestly, I wish I don't see it enough. Like in like the, I get it how in the, when you like scroll through someone's, you know, page of when you're looking at people you follow, and scrolling through it is kind of like, what am I looking at? Sometimes, but I really like, you know, once you do get to like look into someone's profile, like seeing those images like that. So I'd love to see more people like who are doing things like that.
Yeah. I noticed you were using another platform called Lemon 8. What is that?
Oh yeah. It's a new platform. It's like, I like to describe it as like a mixture between like Pinterest and Instagram and, I guess like Tumblr, where you just like get to like blog about things and you have like that like kind of Pinterest aesthetic of it. And, you know, like people are just able to like post their life or like what they're doing or what their thoughts are. So it's just like a nice like refresh of, you know, social medias that, you know, are trying to gain followers and trying to sell you something. Lemon's 8 is just like, here's my blog, here's my thoughts. And if you like it, that's cool. So it's just like a nice refresh.
Are you getting a lot of traffic there?
No, but it's not like my goal to get traffic on there. It's just another like outlet to say like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is my life. This is what I like creating. And if you like it, that's cool. And if you don't, that's fine. I also find that there's like a better community on there too. Like we actually, like people are actually engaging with each other, talking about things with each other. It feels like more, open and inviting.
So what's next? You mentioned you have a lot of projects in the work.
Yeah. So my next project, after I, you know, relax a little bit with the marketing of this book and, you know, the images, because I still have a lot more to post on the Instagram. I have like a whole planned feed as well. After that's all submitted and, you know, presented, I'm going to do another book. And it's going to be like the sequel to this one. I already have like the name picked out. I had like an idea of like what the cover is going to look like, what the Instagram would might look like. So I've already like, I'm like 10 steps ahead of like what my next project's going to look like.
You know, I really enjoyed the way it seemed like that her discipline was like rooted in just the passion of it. it's like refreshing to hear her be more concerned about the art and like less about sales. She's very much, if you like it, great.
Yeah, you should definitely check out her whole collection. They're very visceral. I feel like each one had an emotion that you can really pull out and relate to so strongly.
And this is our newer release, right?
One format's already out. The other format's out in May. And unfortunately, we don't have any results to unpack yet. But I'm curious, how would you approach promotion for poetry?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like it's really important to have like a really strong, compelling theme throughout all the poems. That's where I would start with the marketing. So that could be like, if it's a theme of family, mother, daughter, father, son, if it's growth or travel, or like what home is, having that as your central theme. It's a great way to start marketing your poetry.
And so would you narrow the target audience to people who've already expressed an interest in poetry on Facebook or whatever advertising platform you're going to use?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would definitely target to poets and writers who are interested in that theme as well, who also write similar themes. It's also a great way to attract people to your writing.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about a story that our boss Jim Foley tells all the time about how to start a scene in the music world, and how, you know, you find musicians like you and get a space together, and now all of you are bringing an audience to the group, to that individual event, and pretty soon you do that enough time, pretty soon you have a scene. So I feel like in poetry and in writing in general, you kind of have to do that yourself and do that networking and bring other people who have similar writing and similar work into your orbit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like the name of the game, connection and exposure.
All right. So last up, do you have some poets to recommend to the people?
I'm currently rereading Ruby Carr's Milk and Honey.
Ruby Kaur is a classic. We've also got plenty of Book Baby poets available in the Book Baby bookshop to go along with Jelly. Aaron Clark, Miriam Duen, Shelby Catano, Gary Glid. Those are just a few of the authors who have put out poetry books with us this year. And if you're interested in publishing with Book Baby, we want to hear from you. info@bookbaby.com or 877-961-6878. That'll do it for us. Thanks to our guest Jelly, our producer Chad. Thank you, Madison, for filling in for me last month. And thanks to you, Jazz. A pleasure as always.
Until next time.
Although I don't want to damage them, because they are pure and clean, and I have not been dirtied or bent by sticky fingers or clumsy readers, I wish I could whip out some of my favorite pages of the books you'll never read. Fold them into paper cranes and mail them to you. Highlighted and underlined and annotated, marked up all ugly, and gift them to you at your new home, just to let you know that I'm still thinking about you.